This, open your Bibles to the seventh chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 7. And I'd like to know, is your light shining because of the day in which we live and time is short? Let me just first of all again say to moms, God bless you. This is Mother's Day, and on Mother's Day, I always have struggled with what to preach, because when I was a young pastor, I thought, well, I've got to preach on motherhood, you know, every Mother's Day. And but you know, you can preach on Proverbs 13 or 31, the ideal woman, and you can preach on Samuel's mom, and then of course there's Mary, you know, Jesus' mom, and there's a couple other moms, you know, you can go to, but you know, after you kind of preach those two or three times, you know, then you got to figure something else out. And what I found was in my Mother's Day preaching, too often what I was doing was just kind of holding up the idea, saying, okay, moms, this is what you got to be and you better be. And quite honestly, I've never met a mother who has ever met completely and totally the ideal. And so what happens is we end up just kind of making moms feel guilty rather than doing anything else. And so I got to where I just wanted to say, God bless you, moms. Thank God for moms. Listen, we're praying for you, need you, want you. Listen, appreciate you, but I'm not necessarily going to preach a specific Mother's Day sermon. But this past week, I was thinking about all this, and I was putting together this sermon. And as I said yesterday, I was with my mom, and so I knew I was going to get to see my mom and everything. And I got to thinking about, you know, the world in which we live, and how, you know, moms are just, first of all, awesome, number one, but secondly, you know, they really make the world a whole lot safer, you know, for the rest of us. For example, car seats. And, you know, nowadays, you wouldn't even think about putting a kid in a car without strapping him or her into that car seat, right? You know, back in the day when I was growing up, and I don't know what this says about my mom, but I stood up, when I rode in the car with my mom and dad, I was standing in the front seat between the two. You know, I had those bench seats, you know. Sometimes when I got tired, I would crawl up in the back window, the back window of the car and fall asleep or something. We never strapped anybody in, you know. But I guarantee you, if it were up to dads, if it were just dads in on this thing, there would never be such a thing as a car seat, man. We would just throw them in there and go, you know. And another thing is helmets, you know, especially bicycle helmets. Last week, we were also up in Sherman watching the grand youngins, and so I took Parker, the oldest one, who we just had her third birthday yesterday, thank you very much, and so I put her into this, she's got like a little tricycle type thing that there's no way she could fall out of this. I mean, it's got like a rail and everything and a handle on the back where I was pushing her and she was riding the tricycle. So I'm thinking, hey, we're good, you know, put her in there. I mean, you know, you'd have thought that I was trying to beat that child to death. I didn't have her helmet on, you know, so we had to get the helmet on. And that reminded me of, you know, Brother Mike, who, I don't know, this has been a year or so ago. He got some four-wheelers, and he got a little one for his little granddaughter, you know, and made the mistake of letting her ride that thing without her helmet. And now he's, like, grounded from his granddaughter riding the four-wheeler, you know, because if it were up to me, see, we don't necessarily think about those things, but moms do. And I guarantee it's because of a mom thought of a safety helmet, you know, just like she's the one that came up with the car seat and all those other things that keep us safe. And so I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that if it were just up to me, we wouldn't do that kind of stuff. Ladies, moms, God bless you. Thank you. This morning, I want to talk to you about a helmet. And it's the helmet of salvation. In fact, in honor of Mama's Day today, what I want to say to you is, don't forget your helmet. Okay, you are living in a dangerous world. You need a helmet. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you've got a helmet, by the way. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul goes through the full armor of God. He says, put on the full armor of God. And so you got the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. In other words, God, I think in honor of mom, says, hey, folks, put on your helmet. Do not get out there without a helmet. So I want to talk to you about today about that helmet of salvation, really in kind of a different way from Genesis chapter 7. Because what do helmets do for us? Helmets keep us safe. So the helmet of salvation keeps us safe from something. Safe from what? Well, safe from the judgment of God. The judgment of God on sin, because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so the helmet of salvation protects us from the judgment of God or the wrath of God that is poured out upon all sin. Because you see, like every good mama knows, sooner or later everybody's going to fall down, or everybody's going to fall off that tricycle, or somehow, some way, it's going to turn over and you're going to crack your skull. So put on your helmet. Put on the helmet of salvation. In Genesis chapter 7, we've come to that portion in which God puts the animals on the ark and he begins the flood. Now, I mentioned last week that the story of Noah and the ark, for most of us, is a nice, innocuous, beautiful little children's story. We not only teach it to our kids, we sing songs about it to our children. It's a children's story. And most of the time you see depictions of Noah and the ark, you know, the animals have got smiling faces on, and the giraffes' heads are sticking up out of the ark, and they're the elephants, and we've got all the nice furry little creatures and everything on there. And it's just a beautiful, wonderful little story. But beloved, the story of Noah and the ark is not a children's story, quite honestly. It is a dark, 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 ugly picture of what sin does, or what sin brings into this world, and the judgment of God upon sin. And in the seventh chapter, this is the account of the flood, in which God brings all the animals together, and the overriding theme here is that sin brings death and destruction, and God judges sin. That the entire world, the whole universe, is under the judgment of God because of the sin of mankind. And let's not just talk about the sin of mankind, let's talk about my own sin. Because you are a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. It is my sin that brings judgment. It is my sin that brings destruction. And so, in the first part of chapter 7, the time has come for the flood. Noah has been working on this ark now, this big boat. Nobody even knew what it was. What is that? Well, it's an ark. What does that do? Well, it floats on the water. What's that? What's that all about? They didn't know anything about that. And because 500 miles from the nearest water source. And so, we've got this ark now. It's all completed, and the animals start coming in. And the first 10 verses relate that. And I want to pick up in verse 11 of chapter 7. Let's just read together. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the sources of the watery depths burst open. The floodgates of the sky were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And on that same day, Noah, along with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's wife, and his three sons' wives entered the ark with him. Now notice how many got on the ark. There's Noah, there's his wife, there's his three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and there are the three boys' wives. And so that's a total of eight. And so now there are eight souls, or eight human beings, on the ark. Verse 14. They entered it with all the wildlife according to their kinds, all livestock according to their kinds, the creatures that crawl on the earth according to their kinds, all birds, every fowl, and everything with wings according to their kinds. Two of all flesh that has the breath of life in it entered the ark with Noah. And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, entered just as God had commanded him. Now watch this. Then the Lord shut him in. So watch now. The Lord is the one who shuts the door. Verse 17. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The water surged and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. And then the water surged even higher on the earth, and all the high mountains under the whole sky were covered. The mountains were covered as the water surged above them more than 20 feet. It literally says 15 cubits, and a cubit is the distance between the tip of your finger to your elbow here, about a foot and a half. So 15 cubits is a little more than 20 feet. Verse 21, every creature perished. Those that crawl on the earth, birds, livestock, wildlife, and those that swarm on the earth, watch, as well as all mankind. Everything with the breath of the spirit of life in its nostrils. Everything on dry land died. He wiped out every living thing that was on the surface of the ground, from mankind to livestock to creatures that crawl, to the birds of the earth, and they were wiped off the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark, and the waters surged on the earth 150 days. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, did you catch the emphasis of those verses or the impact of those verses? It's not the impact right there at the very end is certainly on those that survived, Noah and his wife and his three sons, and then two of every kind of animal. But the overriding theme or the impact of that entire passage is how everything was wiped out over and over again. In fact, three different times he says, everything perished, everything perished, everything perished. What is it that sin brings to this world? Well, it's not that big a deal. Sin's not that bad. We'll make TV shows about it and pageants about it, and we'll celebrate it, and we'll do... Listen, what God said, it's not that big a deal. I mean, God said on the day you sin, you shall surely die. No, you're not going to die. It's not that big of a deal. Well, the flood says it is that big of a deal. Do you understand? That sin is exceedingly sinful. And that what sin does is it brings destruction, total, total destruction. This is why you can't play around with sin, why you can't mess around with sin, because sin brings death and God judges sin. So the wrath of God is poured out upon all sin. And that really is the story of Noah and the ark, and that's why I say this isn't really just a children's story. It's a story that every one of us should take to heart. Now, what I want to do this morning, because, beloved, let's just be honest about this. If we were to go back and we were to study everything that was going on in Noah's day, my gut feeling, my feeling is that the wickedness and the evil and the perversion and everything that was going on in Noah's day couldn't even hold a candle to what's happening in our day. I mean, we have perfected perversion in this world today. I mean, everywhere you look, there is evil, wickedness, perversion. Those things that God says are an abomination are the things that really have become good and righteous and holy and pure in our day. If you're doing those things, you're good. Everything that God says is an abomination, that's just fine. And if you try to walk with God or stand up and say, I'm a Christian or I'm a man of God or a woman of God, then you're derided and you're put down. Listen, I don't think that the time of Noah or what was going on in Noah's day could hold a candle to what's going on in our day. And so what does that mean? Well, God judges sin. That's what this is all about. And if God judges sin and judgment came upon the entire world in that day because of sin, what makes us think that we're going to escape the righteous judgment of God? It is coming, it's on its way, because God still judges sin. And there are some of us sitting here in this room this morning, we're sitting here in our sin. You've never put on the helmet of salvation, and you're in danger of hellfire. Let me just say that. You're in danger of hellfire, you're sitting here today, and what I want to do is I want to give you some the fatal facts from the flood. In fact, there's five fatal facts from the flood that every one of us need to understand. And when I share these things with you, you'll understand that this is not just a nice little story. This is about the wrath of God poured out upon sin and the judgment of God on all flesh. And so let me just give you let's just go through these facts, all right? You need to write these things down. You need to take them to heart. You need to understand these, because it's not just for those of us who are sitting here without a helmet of salvation on. It's also for those of us who are the light of the world. We're the city on a hill, but we are living in a world of darkness. And listen, we've got friends, neighbors, we've got relatives that are on their way to a devil's hell. I mean, today they are headed straight to hell. And quite honestly, most of us don't really care. I want to show you what is going on here and why you should care, and why you should not only put on the helmet of salvation, but you ought to, as a good mom, you ought to be passing out helmets. If you see somebody don't know Jesus, you ought to be freaking out like grandma did last week when that little granddaughter was in that tricycle without her helmet on. Where's your helmet? Put on your helmet. All right? Five fatal facts of the flood. Fact number one, not everyone is going to be saved. Not everyone is going to be saved. Let's just be honest about it. Here Noah was building an ark, and he was preaching righteousness. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. And what that means is when he was preaching righteousness, he was talking about the righteousness of God. He was saying that God is holy, God is righteous, and God judges sin. And the rest of us, he was telling people, are sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And so he was saying, unless you attain the righteousness of God, you're going to be lost. You're going to be swept away in the judgment or the wrath of God. Well, how do I attain God's righteousness? Well, he would point to the ark. And he would say, this is the provision of God. You can't do it with your own righteousness. It's God's righteousness. And if you'll just get on the ark, you'll be saved from the wrath that is to come, the wrath of God that is poured out upon all sin. He was saying, don't trust your righteousness. Trust God's righteousness. But the sad truth is, as you go through these chapters that deal with the flood, the sad truth is that not everybody got on the ark. Now, beloved, today there is an ark of salvation. And the ark of salvation is Jesus. If you know the Son, you have life. If you know not the Son, you have not life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. God has provided for eternal life. He's provided the way of salvation. It's Jesus. And I want you to know, beloved, that today the door of heaven is wide open, and whosoever will may come. Let's just look at one of the most famous passages in all the Bible, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. And what does 3:16? What does John 3:16 say? Most of you memorized this when you were children. It says, "For God loved the world in this way," or "God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." This is what God has done. He's given His Son to do what? To open the way of heaven so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. But it goes on, verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." Is God desiring to wipe out all flesh? Is God desiring to destroy all sinners? No. God sent His Son Jesus so that He wouldn't have to destroy, so that the wrath of God would be abated. He sent His Son so that the way to heaven would be open, and so that the world would not be condemned but be saved. But it goes on to say in verse 18, "Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned," praise God. That is, you've got your helmet of salvation. "But anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he's not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This then is judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil." Now, God has opened the way to heaven through Jesus Christ. Here's the ark of salvation. But not everyone is going to be saved. You know, I mention this because in our day there is a very, very, very insidious, dangerous theology called universalism. And what universalism says is listen, everybody's basically a good person. We're all created in the image of God anyway. And you know what? God's a loving God, and He's not going to send anybody to hell, and it doesn't matter really what you do or how you live your life. Everybody's going to make it. In fact, all those who died, we know that they're up there now. They're looking down on us, and they love us, and they're helping us. Maybe they're angels floating around us or all these things. But somehow, some way, everybody is going to make it to heaven. If there is such a thing to hell, nobody's going to hell. That's the theology of universalism. And beloved, let me tell you something. That theology is damning more people to hell right now than any other theology. Because it's basically saying, listen, you just do whatever you want to do. Live your life any old way you want to live it. You don't have to worry about anything because somehow, some way, you're going to make it. Unfortunately, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So not everybody is going to be saved. That is the first fatal fact of the flood. But it doesn't end there. Fact number two is this. The majority will be lost. It's not just that not everybody won't be saved. The truth is the majority will be lost. Remember how many got on the ark? Eight. The ark represents the righteousness of God, the salvation of God, the way that is provided by God. And there was Noah, and he preached righteousness all those years, 100 years as he was building the ark. And how many people did he talk to? How many people did he preach? I believe that people gathered from all over. They would come to hear Noah preach. And yet when it finally came down to it, only Noah, his three sons, and their wives got on the ark. Not everyone is going to be saved. You know what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it." In other words, Jesus said, there's two ways. In fact, there's only two ways. There is a broad way, and there's a narrow way. That broad way leads to destruction. It leads to death. The narrow way leads to life. And he said, there are many who are going to walk that broad way because it's easy. Or you don't have to really do anything. You just walk on down to it. You just go on down it. And it's going to lead to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. And there are few who are going to find it. Now, some of us are going to sit here and say, no, wait a minute. Why in the world would God just sit by while the majority of people are on that wide way headed to destruction if what Jesus is saying is true? Why would God just stand by and let that happen? And the answer is He didn't just stand by. He gave the ark. He gave His Son Jesus. And whosoever will may come. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. You can come by Jesus. I mean, He opened the gates of heaven wide open and said, whosoever will may come. Come on in this way, all you've got to do. But here's the thing. Everybody's got to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice for yourself. And by the way, parents, God bless you, but you can't make this choice for your children. We'd love to. We want to. You can encourage them, nurture them. You can lead them, guide them. But sooner or later, every one of them is going to have to make a choice. And I just want you to think about this for a second. What does it take? What do you have to do to go to hell? What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You honestly don't have to do anything to go to hell. You can sit right where you are. And you can sit there in your righteousness and in your self-righteousness. And you can say, wait a minute, I'm a good person, and I've lived a good life, and I didn't beat my wife, or I took care of my children, or, you know, I gave money to the church, or I went to church, or, you know, whenever, or whatever. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Absolutely nothing. Just keep on doing all that, because the way is wide open to hell. But if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to go that narrow way. There's just one way to get to heaven. And that way is Jesus. Many, It's not just that not everybody's going to be saved. Most are going to be lost. And that's one of the great tragedies, but it's a great truth of Scripture. Let me give you the third thing, the third fatal fact, and that is many will perish who expect to be saved. Now get this. Why didn't more people get on the ark? Well, because either they didn't believe Noah, or they thought they had more time, or they felt they were safe, or, you know, Noah had been talking about this flood, this judgment coming for 100 years, and it hadn't come yet. So they were looking around and saying, well, if it hadn't come yet, what makes you think it's going to come? So listen, we'll just go on. Most people in this world today think they're safe. And let me just tell you, because I'm talking to a room full of folks who come to church on Sunday, and maybe you came here for a different reason since today is Mother's Day, but my guess is that most of us here, we love church, we come to church, probably give to church and everything, give to the Lord. But you know, well, let me just tell you what Jesus said again in Matthew chapter 7. And this is a Sermon on the Mount, by the way. First of all, he said there's a wide way and there's a narrow way. Many are going to go that wide way, and just a few find that narrow way. But look what he says down in verse 21 of Matthew 7. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, do many miracles in your name? And then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Are you sinners? Because remember, everybody has sinned. And that's you, that's me, that's everybody. And isn't that going to be the most tragic words that anyone could ever hear in your whole life? Maybe somebody spends their whole life, you know, growing up in a preacher's home, perhaps, or a deacon's home, or a home in which you're taken to church every Sunday. Maybe you spend your whole life in church, and maybe you do all kinds of things. You might teach Sunday school. You might be a deacon. You might do all these other things. Might even be a preacher and stand up and preach and everything, and one day stand before God Almighty and say, hey, God, look at all the things I did for you. And then the Lord Jesus will look down and say, but wait just a minute. I never knew you. Now, who are you? Have we ever met? Oh, wait, we've never met. I never knew you. The saddest words in all of eternity. I never knew you. And Jesus said there are many. Many who are going to say, hey, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that I did. Many who expect to be saved won't be saved. Why? Because it's not what you do that saves you. It's only what Jesus has done. And unless and until you give your life to Jesus, until you come to him and you lay your life out before him, that is, you've got to get on the ark, because he's on the ark. He is the ark. Well, what does it take to get on the ark? In Noah's day, you just walked up that little ramp. You said, I'm believing what God has said, and I trust God, and I'm going to get on that ark. And in our day, how do you do that? Well, Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A couple of verses before that, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen, until you've called on the name of Jesus, until you've come to him and confessed him as Lord of your life, you are on your way to hell. Don't do anything else and you'll find hell without any problem whatsoever. You've got to put on the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation is Jesus. And until you do that, until you call on the name of the Lord, until you get on the ark, until you take Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you're still lost in your sin. Many who think that they're saved, they're going to be lost. Let me give you the fourth fact. There's no salvation after death. There is no salvation after death. Or to put it another way, one day it's going to be too late. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he begged and he cajoled and he pleaded for over 100 years. As he built that ark, people would come, and I think they would gather around, and he would preach. Oh, listen, God loves you, and God doesn't want you to perish, but there's judgment coming on sin because God is righteous and God judges all sin. Won't you come get on the ark? Won't you give your life to him? And he preached that over and over again. And right up until the time, I think Noah was preaching. But then as we saw in that 16th verse of chapter 7, it said, but then the Lord shut the door. He brought in all the animals. And you can imagine how exciting that must have been. And probably it created quite a stir around there. And people were saying, hey, man, the animals are getting on the ark. Man, you ought to see this thing. Here come two elephants, and they just walk right on up there. Two giraffes and all those fuzzy little animals, those cute little monkeys and everything else. They were just coming in two by two. And all the people were standing there watching it. And the whole time, Noah's saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And he seemed maybe like a crazy man to him. And they think, well, he's totally flipped out now. No, get on the ark. Judgment is coming. God judges sin, and you need salvation. Get on the ark. But when it was finally said and done, just eight people got on the ark. And then the Lord shut the door. Now, once the door was shut, it was too late. Too late. Because the rain started falling. And the flood started coming. The Bible says that the foundation of the deep broke up. And I think the earth was just covered with water very, very, very quickly. Beloved, the Bible is very clear about this. That we live and die. And as long as we live, we can be saved. The day of salvation is today. I mean, it's still here. It's not too late for anybody here, because every one of us in this room, everybody's going to hear this podcast or get one of the CDs, anything. Listen, as long as you can hear my, it's not too late. But the day is coming when God will shut the door. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, just as it is appointed for people or mankind once to die, and after that, judgment. Every one of us have an appointment with death. Every one of us, doesn't matter how old or young you are, some of us are going to meet death sooner than others. But every one of us is going to die. This is one appointment that you're going to keep. No one is going to miss this appointment. And before you die, you have the opportunity to trust Christ. You have the opportunity to give your life to him. But after that, it's too late. You know, Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 16. About a rich man and a man named Lazarus who begged at his table. And Jesus said then in due time, both of these died. The rich man died and he went to hell. And Lazarus died and he went to heaven. And then Jesus said, down in the torment of hell, that rich man looked up and he saw Lazarus up there. And I believe this is going to be part of the torment of hell. You're going to be able to see out of hell. And he cried out. He wanted to be saved. He cried out and said, could someone come and just dip their finger in water and soothe this torment? And Jesus said, no, it can't happen. There's a great gulf fixed, because you see, once you die, it's too late. Too late. Too late for Jesus. You live and you die. And as long as you live, there's that opportunity. There's that time. But at some point, time runs out. I want you to notice something. That rich man down in hell, if you go on and read that story in Luke 16, he became one of the greatest evangelists maybe that ever died. I mean, all of a sudden, he wanted somebody to go tell, he wanted to go back and tell his brothers. He wanted somebody else to go tell his brothers. He wanted everybody to know about Jesus, because he didn't want anybody to come to that hell that he was in. I mean, do you understand? He all of a sudden wanted people to hear about Jesus. Isn't that interesting? But after death, it's too late. Too late for Jesus, because the door is shut. Let me just give you the fifth fact, and this is for you. Today is the day of salvation. Today might be your day. You know, the people in Noah's day, they assumed they had plenty of time. And maybe those who, there were some who even believed Noah and said, well, you know, yeah, I know that I'm not. And listen, but and one of these days, I'm going to get right and I'm going to get on that ark. I know that he's right. I know what he's saying is true. But I'm going to get on that ark someday. But then time ran out and the door was shut. And then it was too late. And you can imagine as the waters came up, there might have been some sitting there, you know, just yesterday Noah was asking me to get on the ark. And I had the chance, and I missed that chance. Listen, we never know when tomorrow may come. And every one of us have a tendency to think, well, I've got plenty of time. You know, I know that I'm not going to live forever, but I've got tomorrow. So I'm going to get saved tomorrow. I'm going to get right tomorrow. I'm going to live for God tomorrow. I'm going to witness tomorrow. I'm going to be that shining light on the hill tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. There's a story. It's not a true story, I don't suppose. Might be. About the devil meeting with all of his lieutenants. And he says, how can we damn more people to hell? And one of the lieutenants said, well, we can tell them that the Bible is not true, not to believe the Bible. And the devil said, yeah, that'll get some of them. That'll get some of them. He said, let's tell them that there's no God and that they shouldn't even believe in God. And the devil said, yeah, that'll get some of them. Other lieutenants said, let's do different things. You know, let's teach them to kill their unborn babies, and let's teach them to do all the other things. Let's teach them to hate one another and war and divorce and all these things. Let's teach them all that. And the devil said, yeah, that'll get many. And then finally, one old crusty demon, he got up and he said, I know. Let's tell them they have plenty of time. And the devil said, that'll damn more of them to hell than anything else. And that's what the devil does. You want to get saved? Great. Not today. You've got time. You want to live for God? That's fine. But not today. You can wait till tomorrow. Oh, you've got a neighbor and you know he's lost. Don't tell him about Jesus today. You've got time. Wait till tomorrow. You know, the problem is at some point tomorrow never comes. And you know, quite honestly, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, this might be your last chance because something might happen to you, or the Lord Jesus might come again, or your heart just might be, this might be the time where the scripture says God gives you over to a reprobate mind. That is, your heart becomes so hardened that God says, I can't do anything, so I'll just withdraw my spirit. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow because you don't know if you have tomorrow. You might be damning yourself to hell today if you reject Jesus today. And for those of us who know the Lord, we've already got our helmet of salvation. And we're wondering, well, my friend over there, my neighbor, or my son, or daughter, or grandchildren, whoever it is, I've got plenty of time. Well, I'll tell you again, something might happen to you. Something might happen to them. Jesus might come again. No telling what might happen. Listen, we're not guaranteed any more time. Time is in the hands of the Lord, not us. Today is the day. And so what I want to do, just as in honor of moms, I want to ask you this question. You have your helmet on today? The helmet of salvation. And if you don't have the helmet of salvation, I want you to know, oh, please, please hear what I have to say. The way to heaven is wide open. There's a helmet for you. It'll fit just perfectly. His name is Jesus. Wouldn't you give your life to Jesus today? There's no other way to salvation. There's no other way to life. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. And he died for you. And if you'll just call on his name today, you can be saved. And for those of you sitting here this morning who have a helmet on, I just want to remind you, Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day might bring. So today, you've got your helmet on. Would you share Jesus? Would you make a commitment? Listen, we've got a box down here that we started here a couple of weeks ago. And there are many names already in this box. You know somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And maybe that name is in this box right now. Let's pray today. And listen, let's look for opportunities to share Christ. If the name is not in this box and you want to come up here in just a minute and put the name in the box, listen, we're praying over these names because we know that time will one day run out. These are the five fatal facts of the flood. And we've got to get them, beloved. We've got to get them because God's love is limitless, but his judgment is also limitless. Judgment on what? Judgment on sin. And today is the day of salvation. Wouldn't you come to Jesus today? Father God, help us now as we just humble ourselves before you. And Lord, I would just pray that you would just take over in this place right now. God, that every heart and every mind and every life would be open to you. Lord, that there would be nothing that would hinder your Spirit from working within us, drawing us to yourself. There would be nothing that would keep you from quickening our hearts and minds so that we might see you and hear you and know you. Lord, my prayer that there's not a one here this morning that would get up and walk out the door who would one day have to stand before you and hear, "I never knew you." God, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day of righteousness. Lord, let today be the day in which not only we put on the helmet, but that we take our helmet and our shield and our sword and our feet that are shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel, and we go. And Lord, with that breastplate of righteousness, we share Jesus. Just like Noah did, Lord, so let it be that preachers of righteousness go throughout this community and this world. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.